I expect, if you're anything like me, I expect most of us are finding this lockdown miserable. And I imagine for some of us, it's been unbearable. In Maidenhead, where I'm a vicar, we have those who are having to occupy children whilst continuing paid work. And there's actually seems to be no break from the pressure. There are some with tricky relationships at home, and there's no escaping the tension. And there are some who are alone and desperately isolated. And side by side, these desperately hard circumstances, there's anxiety. People anxious about their own or someone else's health. There are serious financial worries. And for some of us, actually, our mental health is in bits, and we're finding ourselves in a sort of emotional free fall. And when we're going through severe hardship and emotional turmoil, our faith, if we have one, can sometimes make matters worse rather than better, because we feel kind of a spiritual failure for being so full of despair. Sometimes we think, well, surely if I'm a Christian, my faith in God should help me rise above my problems. And likewise, when we feel disappointed and let down by God, that in itself can make us feel bad. Well, the section of the Bible that we're looking at today is for people who are feeling desperate. And I'm going to read now Psalm 13, this very short psalm. But before we do that, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come now to read your word and then to look at it more closely. Would you please show us wonderful things for Jesus' sake and build our trust in you, we pray. Amen. The cry is of David. This is Psalm 13. For the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That cry, how long, is often heard during long car journeys filled with young children. How long till we get there? But actually, the longing for suffering to come to an end is a common experience. Most people, at some point in their life, go through a period of prolonged hardship, which causes them to cry out, even if it's just to themselves, how long must I endure this? And I suspect many of us will have been uttering this cry during this lockdown. Well, King David was certainly in a desperate situation. Four times he cries out, how long? And wonderfully, God in his providence has caused this psalm to be preserved for us. In fact, it's quite interesting that about a third of the psalms in the Bible are what we call psalms of lament. They are a significant part of scripture. And this is itself an encouragement for those who are struggling in life. God, in his kindness and providence, has given us the words to kind of cry out to him when we're going through the mill. And what is more, many of the psalms of lament, like this one, Psalm 13, are psalms of David. Now, David was God's anointed king. He was a Messiah. And as such, he always points ahead to his greater descendant, the Lord Jesus. So as we look at this psalm together, we are to imagine not only King David crying out to God, but also to our Lord Jesus Christ, crying out to God the Father in anguish during his earthly ministry amongst us. Now we're going to look at this psalm under three headings. And the first one is simply this: cry out to God in your anguish. When we are suffering, first and foremost, we are to cry out, not to our spouse or partner, not to a parent or a church elder, but to the Lord our God. And this is what David does. And from the opening two verses, we see that there were three things that were causing David such anguish. And the first was his relationship with God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And God didn't appear to be interested in David. He was ignoring him. He was hiding his face from David. And I just love the honesty that David has before God. He feels that God is ignoring him, and he tells God about it. See, God doesn't want us to put on airs and graces before him. He wants us to express the reality which is in our heart. If we are confused, even disappointed with God, God wants us in our personal times of prayer to express that to him. But not only is David in anguish over God's apparent disinterest in him, he's in anguish over himself. Look at the first part of verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? From time to time as a pastor, I come across people who are in such emotional turmoil and despair that they want to end their life. They are suicidal. And these verses sum up that experience perfectly, that constant battle with harmful negative thoughts, of waking up in the morning and having deep sorrow in the heart. David here, it seems that he was going through severe pain and depression. And it seems from the final line of verse 2 that the root cause of David's pain and anguish was his enemy. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, we don't know who this enemy was. It might have been King Saul or his own rebel son, Absalom. It could possibly even be death itself. You see, when evil prospers and wicked people seem to be securely in control, if you're then suddenly struck down with a life-threatening illness, it is hard to think that God cares and is interested in you. And this was David's experience as a godly, faithful believer. And this was also our Lord Jesus Christ's experience. We only have to listen to him wrestling in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, or to hear him cry out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Friends, it's not a sign of unbelief and lack of faith to take our pain and confusion and complaints to God in prayer. In fact, it's the opposite. This psalm and the other psalms like it teach us that we should direct our pain and anguish towards God, that God wants us to be real with him. But not only are we to cry out to God in our anguish, that's my first point. Secondly, we're also to cry out to God for relief. And we see David doing that in verse 3. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Now David cries out to God using God's the name that he gave him, revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, the name that expresses that agreement, that covenant that God entered into with the Israelites, Yahweh, which is always translated Lord in capital letters in our Bible. That's the personal name by which God revealed himself. God committed himself to the Israelites. They would be his people and he would be their God. He would provide for them. But David knows that Yahweh, the Lord, is not just the God of Israel. He is his God. David cries out, look at me and answer, O Lord, my God. David has a personal relationship of love with God, and every Christian believer today has an even more secure and personal relationship with God through Jesus. And so, like David, we can approach God boldly and confidently with our requests. And what is the specific request here? See it? End of verse 3, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. What does that request, give light to my eyes, mean? Well, I think first and foremost, it is a plea for relief from the turmoil he's already experienced in the first two verses. David wants to be remembered by God. He wants to have God's face shine upon him blessing rather than hidden from him. He wants to be rid from his mental and emotional turmoil. He wants peace to rule in his heart. He doesn't want his enemy, whether it be Saul or Absalom or death itself, to triumph over him. No, he wants life as life is meant to be lived in fellowship with God. Friends, it's not wrong to want our sufferings to stop. It's not wrong to long for relief from this coronavirus. And God wants us to cry out to him, to ask for relief. He doesn't want us to be mealy-mouthed. He wants his people to seek his face and to acknowledge that he can and is able to bring relief to their suffering. But that expression, give light to my eyes, could also be a specific request for understanding. See, David could be praying for God to give him a divine perspective on his suffering. And certainly this is what sustained our Lord Jesus Christ and folk like the apostles Paul and Peter when they were going through the mill. Hebrews 12 reminds us that it was because of the joy that Jesus knew would be his after his death and resurrection that he endured the cross and scorned its shame. Likewise, the Apostle Paul could write in Romans chapter 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. But when you're in agony, when you're depressed and feeling low, it is hard to maintain this eternal perspective. And God knows that. He understands. And so he has caused David's heartfelt request to be preserved for us. See, this is a prayer we can pray also. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Lord, show me what's going on here so I can cope and not give in to despair. And notice that as David pours out his heart to God, there is a change in his mood. And the final two verses of the psalm are in stark contrast to the opening two. Look, have a look at them with me. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Now, that doesn't always happen. And sometimes we can be so cast down and in such a deep depression that we have no change of mood when we cry out to God. And the Bible recognizes that. There is another psalm, Psalm 88, which remains bleak throughout. There is no expression of hope in that psalm at all. God has given us the words to utter to him, even when we are in the deepest of depressions and can see no way out. But the point is that often when we do begin to pray and cry out to God openly and honestly from the heart, that the Holy Spirit, who lives in all of God's people, begins to remind us of what God is like. So the first point, cry out to God in your anguish. Yes. Cry out to God for relief. Yes. But then finally, cry out to God, expressing your trust in him. See, as David has cried out to God in prayer, so he has remembered who God is and what he has done for him and for Israel. David knew about the great salvation that God had brought about for Israel at the time of the Exodus. He knows how God in his faithfulness brought the Israelites into the promised land. But David also knew how God had saved him personally, time after time in his life, whether it was from a bear or a lion when he was tending the family sheep, or when he went out against Goliath. And as David remembers these things, he rejoices in God. Now, David's immediate circumstances have not changed. The pain and the anguish are still there. But in the midst of the pain, as he remembers the unfailing love of God and how God has proved that unfailing love, not only in the history of Israel, but in his personal experience, David is able to rejoice. And friends, if we have heard the good news about Jesus, if we have grasped something of the depth of our sin and the extent of God's mercy, if we can perceive of our Lord Jesus Christ suffering on the cross, bearing the penalty of sin in our place, if we know how Christ defeated the powers of death and sin and rose victorious from the grave for us, if we can understand that God is able to keep hold of us and bring himself to us in a new creation, if we can understand those things, then however grim our personal circumstances are, we have something to rejoice in. Which is why Paul can write to the Philippians in his letter, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice." And notice that David doesn't just recall in his mind what God has done for him. He expresses that trust to God in prayer. Verse 5, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." It's as we verbalize our trust and express that trust out loud in words to God that our confidence in God grows and we can begin to experience some spiritual relief in the midst of our sufferings. So despite how grim things are for David, he can finish on this upbeat note. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." I know that we're all finding this coronavirus situation hard. I suspect some of us are really, really struggling at the moment. And Psalm 13 points us in the right direction. We are to cry out to God in our anguish. We are to cry out to God for relief. And we are to cry out to God, expressing our trust in him. But more than that, this Psalm of David points us to Jesus. Jesus, God's anointed king, knew the anguish of separation from God. He knew the deep loneliness of a troubled soul. He knew what it was like to have enemies rejoicing in his misery. And so knowing that Jesus has traveled this path before us, and knowing the wonder of the salvation that he has secured for all who trust in him, may we, during this coronavirus crisis, as Jesus did, cry out to God in our pain and frustration, but at the same time rejoice in God's goodness. And friends, if there's any of us here who are not yet trusting Jesus, well, then can I please encourage you to just look again at him and ponder on God, on what God was doing when he sent Jesus into this world to die and rise again for us. Amen. Let me lead in a prayer. O Lord God, Almighty Father, we want to thank you that you have loved us in our Lord Jesus Christ and given us a sure ground for hope. But we thank you that you have caused scriptures like Psalm 13 to be written, so that when we're feeling lousy and when we're struggling to see your hand at work or to see you caring for us, that you've given us the words to express ourselves to you. So Lord, please help us to be real with you at all times, to cry out to you, to never keep our distance from you. And thank you that because of Jesus, we never need to. Amen.